Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the National Employment Network Payments conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, December 20th, 2016. I would now like to turn the conference over to Sean Walcott. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Cheryl, and welcome and thank you all for attending the All-EM Payments call today, Tuesday, December 20th, 2016. I'm Sean Walcott, EM Payments Manager, and your host for the call today. Joining me in our McLean office is Deborah Tennessee, Ticket Program Manager, and on the line, on behalf of the Social Security Administration, we have Katie Strivinger and Natalie Sindeldorfer. Thank you all for joining the call. The purpose of today's presentation is to convey information by providing insight into the payments process as it associates with the following agenda topics. So we're going to review announcements, the ePay status update, the 18-month look back, when to apply, ticket program resources, and then we'll have a question and answer forum. You can check the status of ePay by viewing the announcement screen in the portal. The portal will display the announcement that ePay has started and a message when we complete the processing of an ePay file. I'd like to state happy holidays to everyone, and I'd like to advise our offices are closed on Monday, December 26th, and offices are also closed on Monday, January 2nd, 2017. Starting in January 2017, the All-EM payment calls will be moving to a quarterly schedule. In 2017, our calls will be held January 31st, April 25th, July 25th, and October 31st. The Ticket Program Available Resources section of this presentation highlights the service accommodations available to you at any time to reinforce the payment principles and get other relevant payment information in between calls. Our ePay status update. Our current ePay file processing began on November 17, 2016. Claims are processed by Social Security number instead of DUNS. The current ePay file contains a little over 14,000 SSNs, and as of Monday, December 20th, our EM payment staff processed the following. Total claims paid is 12,220. As a reminder, you may submit your payment request through the ticket portal instead of waiting for the ePay process to run. Additionally, please ensure that your EM payment contact information is current. We email the payment contact for payment outreach messages and confirmation of possible split payments. We will now proceed to the first portion of the presentation, the 18-month look-back tool. During this segment, we will discuss the 18-month look-back tool and when to apply between date of disability onset and the ticket assignment date. We will also provide different examples to further explain the processing rules associated. The 18-month look-back rule applies to all Phase 1 milestone payments for tickets assigned on July 21, 2008 or later. If a beneficiary had trial work level earnings from work between the date of disability onset and the first ticket assignment, some or all of the Phase 1 milestones may be excluded for payment. If earnings exist the month immediately preceding the ticket assignment date, Phase 1 Milestone 1 is not available. If earnings exist 3 months within a 6-month period preceding the ticket assignment date and after the latest DDO, Phase 1 Milestone 2 is not available. If earnings exist 6 months within a 12-month period preceding the ticket assignment date and after the latest DDO date, Phase 1 Milestone 3 is not payable. If earnings exist 9 months within an 18-month period preceding the ticket assignment date and after the latest DDO date, Phase 1 Milestone 4 is not payable. The updated 18-month look-back tool allows EMs to enter the disability onset date, also known as DDO. The date of disability onset is the initial date SSA determines the beneficiary is to be disabled. Some instances, a new DDO is established after a beneficiary is reinstated under an EXR approved by SSA, or if Social Security approves a new disability application. If a beneficiary is reinstated under EXR, a new period of disability with a new disability date of onset is established. No payments are permitted on the old ticket, and the updated 18-month look-back tool now includes the ticket assignment and DDO dates. Determining the disability onset date. The Benefits Planning Query, or BPQI, has a wealth of information about beneficiary's case. EANs can request by having the ticket holder sign the BPQI consent to release of information forms. A valid signature is required in order to complete that form. The first consent form is required to release information from Social Security records. The second consent form is for the release of information associated with the IRS earnings records. The release must contain the beneficiary's Social Security number. EANs working with beneficiaries can obtain a new DDO from the beneficiary, especially when Social Security approves an EXR claim. Display of available milestone payments. The 18-month look-back tool allows EANs or TPM EM payment staffs to enter ticket assignment date to the far right column, which is the month and year. The tool then calculates 18 months prior to the ticket assignment date, month, year, and loads the tool with these months. Staff then plugs in X's under each month to indicate if earnings are above trial work level. The spreadsheet will post a yes or no for each Phase 1 milestone in the chart below to indicate whether or not a Phase 1 milestone payment is available. The new 18-month look-back tool now has the functionality to enter the DDO date and make calculations. With this new feature, the 18-month period between the date of disability onset and ticket assignment date is calculated accurately. Instructions on how to use the tool are included in the downloadable form. This is located at the Ticket to Work website under the Information Center, Resource Documents and Tools. To use the tool, you first enter the ticket assignment date in the box on the far right, outlined in red. This will generate the 18 previous months in the spreadsheet. Next, you enter an X in each of the months where the beneficiary had earnings above trial work level amounts for that year. A chart trial work level amounts is provided on the spreadsheet for your reference. When you've entered the appropriate X's, the spreadsheet will display the available milestones based on the rules we described earlier. The 18-month look-back payment scenario number one. During this part of the presentation, I'll be showing you some data and charts as associated with the 18-month look-back tool and the date of disability onset payment scenarios. In this example, the ticket assignment date is applied as November 2015, and the date of disability onset is May 2015. Normally, in this case, all Phase 1 milestones would be denied. However, only Phase 1 Milestone 1 and Phase 1 Milestone 2 are not payable. This is due to the look-back ending at the date of disability onset, which is listed as May 2015. The 18-month look-back payment scenario number 2. In the next example, the ticket assignment date is documented as November 2014. and the date of disability onset is December 2013. The evidence does seem to show that Phase 1 Milestone 1 through Phase 1 Milestone 3 is not available for payment because the look-back ends at the date of disability onset. Payment scenario number 3. I want to turn now to the third payment scenario using the new 18-month look-back tool. All Phase 1 milestones are available. Each month that contains an X indicates earnings above trial work level amount for that year. The payments are available because the look-back calculation ends at the date of disability onset, which is documented as February 2016. Date of disability onset and ticket 2. For the upcoming examples, please reference and keep in mind these are two different tickets listed with the same beneficiary. A DDO exists for each ticket issued. It is very important to be aware of the DDO for each issued ticket. The DDO on one ticket will differ from the DDO on any subsequent tickets, but the rules remain the same. Just remember, the rules apply to individual tickets and not individual SSNs. Ticket 1 was assigned on June 2012 and has a DDO of 4-2011. Ticket 1 was terminated February 2015. Ticket 2 was issued on June 2015 and assigned on July 2015. The DDO for the ticket 2 is 6-2015. The beneficiary has earnings from work above trial work level from March 2011 to April 2015. What milestones are or are not available? In the first example, ticket 1 was assigned on June 2012 and has a DDO of 4-2011. Ticket 1 was terminated February 2015. The beneficiary has earnings from work above trial work level from March 2011 to April 2015. Based on the fact that Ticket 2 has a DDO date of April 2011 and outside of the 18-month window, all Phase 1 milestones are not available. In the second example, the DDO for the new ticket, or ticket number 2, has been taken into account. Ticket 2 was issued on June 2015 and assigned on July 2015. Although there are earnings listed above trial work level for the second ticket, payment is possible due to the new DDO date of June 2015. We will now finish this discussion with a review of what resources are available to you if you have further questions or need additional details about anything we presented today. Ticket program available resources. The portal automates many operational functions you do throughout the day. Besides uploading payment request forms and viewing the EN payment status report as reviewed previously, some additional automated features that the portal offers includes checking for ticket assignability, assigning or unassigning tickets, and uploading form. TPM provides website resources for providers. ENs can also visit the Information Center section of the website to obtain additional information, resource documents, and training materials on a wide variety of topics. The Information Center also includes a listing of upcoming events, including conference calls that service providers can attend. The training section within the Information Center includes PowerPoint presentations from past Ticket Training Tuesday calls. To access the Ticket to Work website, please go to yourtickettowork.com. Ticket portal and training resources. The Secure Training and Resources site was created to ensure the highest level of security for you and the beneficiaries you serve. You can only access the site by using the link included in your welcome letter you received via email with your login information for the portal. Ticket Portal User Guide is a resource to have at your fingertips when using the ticket portal. The reference to consult before contacting us with a question. For new EMs, information on how to access the training and resource site was included in your welcome letter you received with confirmation of your completed enrollment in the ticket portal. The EM Payments Help Desk. The preferred method of tracking the status of submitted payment requests is to use the ticket portal and take advantage of the real-time updates. However, if an EM is unable to use the ticket portal for any reason, it also has the option to send manual payment status inquiries to the EM Payments Help Desk. You can contact the EM Payments Help Desk at empaymentshelpdesk@yourtickettowork.com, or you can call the toll-free number displayed on screen. EMs can also obtain clarification on payment-related issues or explanation of how EM payment staffs apply ticket policy and procedures in order to make payment and payment denial assessments. These duties include answer EM payment inquiries received through the Payments Help Desk phone line, submit requests to the EM payment staff for payment reconsideration or for payment supervisor to review a payment issue, and outreach to EMs to obtain payment-related documentation when EM payment staff report missing or incomplete information from payment requests EMs submit. The Ticket Operation Helpline is available Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Both the Payment Help Desk and the System Support Desk are accessible by choosing option 2 and 3 respectively. The Payment Help Desk is available to answer all your questions regarding payments policy or status under the ticket program, while the System Support Desk has representatives available to assist you with any technological issues you may encounter using the ticket portal, questions about ticket assignments, or TPR-related questions. This will conclude our presentation portion of the call, and now we will open the lines to receive your comments and answer to any questions you may have. Deborah, do we have any questions presented via the chat room at this time? Okay, I don't see anything at this time.
I'm sorry, Sean, I was on mute. There's one question from Mary, and the question is, will the date of disability onset be available when we check assignment? DDO is different than the ticket mail date, right? The answer is no. It won't be available when you check ticket assignment, and the DDO can be different from the ticket mail date. To obtain an accurate DDO, check the BPQY. If the beneficiary has applied for an EXR claim and SSA approved the claim, then the beneficiary will have a new DDO. If you are working with the beneficiary who applied for an EXR claim, then the beneficiary is no longer working at SGA or possibly not working at all. And if you are in contact with the beneficiary, then the beneficiary should have told you that. And they should also inform you that they have applied for an EXR claim. If and when Social Security approves the claim, at that time, the old ticket will be terminated. There will be a new date of disability onset approved, and no payments will be available on the old ticket. When a beneficiary is issued a new ticket, just because you were the EN who was working with the EN on the first ticket assignment, you would still have to, the beneficiary would still have to have a new ticket assignment date established every time there's a new ticket issued. The payments do not continue on. So if the beneficiary has a new ticket, phase one milestones, the whole value of that ticket starts over on the new ticket, and the beneficiary has to assign that ticket all over again. It is not a continuation. Okay. Also, I just want to finish up this part about the new ticket. On the new ticket, as Sean said, the 18-month look-back earnings will be after the new date of disability onset and before the new ticket assignment date. Any earnings prior to the new date of disability onset will not apply for the 18-month look-back. Also, if there was a successful case closure under the first ticket, it does not apply to a new ticket. If there was a successful case closure under the first ticket and the beneficiary did not receive services from a VR under the new ticket and there's no closure, then the EN would be eligible for all phase one milestones if there are no look-back earnings. I have another question, not a question, but this is coming from Kat Hilger. It says, when my beneficiaries ask the local Social Security offices for a BPPY, they are told that it costs $140. How do we get it so that it doesn't cost? I think on those situations, you need to send that issue up to our payments help desk, and we'll send that up to SSA because they should not have to pay for that service. Okay. Is any payment available for an SSI recipient who is earning well above SSA but is able to reduce income with an early to a level where he still receives a cash benefit? As long as the beneficiary receives a cash benefit, is considered to be in A, and milestone payments would be available. Bertha is asking, can you give the information from the last slide again? And Sean, I believe that might be from the last slide that you had an example or scenario with the 18-month look back.
Let me try and get back to that slide. And you said the last scenario?
Yes.
Okay, we're currently at that screen.
Okay. Okay, and this is an example where if you look at this slide, the date of disability onset is June 2016, and say the ticket assignment date is July 2016. There's no period between these two dates. They're only earnings prior to the ticket assignment date. I'm sorry, they're only earnings prior to the date of disability onset. Remember, the date of disability onset is June. So we cannot look at any earnings prior to June prior to the date of disability onset. Even though the beneficiary had earnings during this period above trial work level, all the phase one milestones are available because these earnings were not after the new date of disability onset and the ticket assignment date. Actually, there isn't any time frame between those two dates, July and June. So again, if you look at that way, all our phase one milestones are available. Heather has asked, will the slideshow be available after the call? Sean? Hello? I think maybe Sean's on mute, but yes, the whole presentation will be posted in the archives after the presentation. Are there any other questions?
If you have an audio question, please press star 1.
Will has a question. Would you mind reviewing the EPAP again? I'm not sure what you're talking about. Could you, if Will could get on the line, and I'm not sure what he wants us to review again.
Okay. Thank you, Deborah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Will wants you to review the ePay status update again, Sean.
Certainly we can do so. In regard to the ePay status update, I'll just review what we stated previously. Our current ePay file processing began on November 17th. Claims were processed by Social Security number instead of DUNS, and the current ePay file contained a little over 14,000 SSNs. As of December 20th, our EM payment staff processed, total claims paid was 12,220. You may submit your payment request through the ticket portal instead of waiting for the ePay process to run. Additionally, please ensure that your EM payment contact information is current. We email the EM payment contact for payment outreach messages and confirmation of possible split payments.
Another issue, Sean, could you confirm where the slideshow or the presentation will be posted after the call?
Certainly. The information will be on the Information Center on the Your Ticket to Work website, and will be listed accurately there. It would be slide number 4 that you would be looking for.
Will that be posted in the archive?
The Information Archive Center, archive portion of the site. I'm sorry.
Okay. So the whole presentation can be found there.
Correct. Do we have any other questions presented during the chat, Deborah?
Yes. One is, when is the 2017 monthly earnings estimator tool be available? And that's what we post to the website. The EN is requesting, when will that be updated?
It has been updated. It is listed on the website. I will make certain that, again, this information is in our archive section of the website. But, again, the 18-month look-back tool has been updated. It has been updated for the last couple of months, and I'll get the exact information where this is listed for you in a second.
Wait a minute, Sean. They're talking about the 2017 monthly earnings estimator, not the look-back.
Oh, okay. I believe that will be the 2017 monthly earnings estimator?
Yes.
That will be available in January.
Okay.
And we will advise once that's available to you.
Okay. And the question also was asked about the payment at a glance. We will update that sometime in January, as soon as we get – Social Security's actuary has to put out the new payment rates, which they haven't done at this point. As soon as we get the updated payment rates for 2017, we'll update the payment at a glance out on the website as well.
Thank you, Deborah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's about it. Nothing else in the chat.
Okay, Cheryl, would you like to open up the lines for available questions presented by the EM Payments audience?
Sure, and your first question comes from Stacey Clark.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I have a question. I've actually not been requesting the BB2Ys, so that will be a helpful thing because basically I'm wondering if the BB2Ys will actually be an accurate look back of the earnings, or is it just what the beneficiary actually has submitted to Social Security?
The BPQY is not a tool or a query that we actually use here at Maximus for the payment operations. We have been told that ENs do use this tool and can pull different pieces of information from it, especially when they have intake with beneficiaries. So I'm not sure about the accuracy of the earnings information, where it pulls from, whether it's based on what the beneficiary reports or whether
right.
it's pulling from somewhere else with Social Security. So
okay.
That I don't, you know, I can't tell you the accuracy.
Yeah, because I had, exactly, and I'm just wondering where that comes from, and it sounds like it's a couple different things, because I had a beneficiary, which, you know, at intake, we do the IWP, and, you know, they're supposed to be honest in the IWP about their look back, which is on one of the pages. And this particular gentleman signed it, you know, and stated he didn't have any. Come to find out, he got a letter from Social Security at one point, and it said zero earnings, you know, in the last 6 to 12 months, whatever. So I'm going with it. Placed him, put payment through, and it was denied because of the look back. So in all the information he gave me, the Social Security printout from the Social Security office showed zero, and I guess come to find out he had not reported it, and it caught up to him later. So I had to, my company had to pay back the payment. There was no way for me to know that that would have happened. Correct?
Okay. The thing is, those earnings could have been updated after you received the payment.
Exactly. I think that's what happened in this case. And I didn't know, you know, I wouldn't have put it through if I knew he had looked
right,
back,
right.
You know. So.
And let me tell you about overpayments for Ticket to Work. The only time that we do not assess an overpayment is if we make a payment and the beneficiary's payment status or their record changes retroactively. Because you have no control over that.
No, and I didn't. So, yeah, Social Security sent a letter that we needed to pay that back.
Right. But if the situation of the earnings change, yes, we can assess the overpayment on that. Only if the earnings situation changes after we make the payment. Someone, Debbie Reardon, says that the BPQY does include IRS tax filing information regardless of what the beneficiary reports.
Yeah, so this particular Social Security letter he had, it was similar to a BPQ, it was an earnings statement or something. It also showed zero. So I think what happened is it caught up with him. He didn't report. Maybe his company reported. You know, something happened in the meantime where earnings were sent in, and, yeah, it was caught later, and then, again, payback had to happen on my end. I just don't want this to happen again to me. So I'm trying to be very careful, making sure the beneficiaries are honest about what they've earned.
Sure. Okay.
You know, so I just wanted to find out. So, you know, going forward, I'll try to utilize more of these tools and the BBQIs because, yeah, I haven't been looking at those for each client. I'm just basically trusting what they put in the IWP.
Okay. I'm going to tell you something. We review so many of these, and we do get look-back forms, not all the time from ENs, but there are many times that those forms have blanks in it. And, you know, prior to us making a payment, we can check records and see that there are earnings there. So a lot of times you will not, I won't say all the time, I don't know what beneficiaries will get or whatever it is, because it does go back to an 18-month period.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, and a lot, you know, they're not writing this down or, you know, they may not have the pay stubs or whatever available. Quite a few times when we get those look back forms, they're not accurate.
Right. Yeah. So that's, yeah. So I think, like you said, doing the homework on the front end, just making sure. But yeah, it's probably a rare case that this happens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. Cheryl, do we have any additional questions presented, audio questions?
Yes, your next question comes from Barnard.
Hi. I wanted to go back to the 18-month look back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more curious about how a month is taken out by the income that's brought in. In other words, like in phase one, if they, you know, if you know that there's income in phase one in, like, the first month or the second month, but there isn't in the third or fourth month, how do you gauge that?
They, We do it the same way we gauge payments. For a phase one milestone two, you have to have, a beneficiary has earned, needs to have earnings in 3 out of 6 months. For example, the beneficiary may have earnings at trial work level or above trial work level for January and February, below for March, April, May, and June is above. So 3 out of 6 months, January, February, and June, that's 3 out of 6 months, their earnings at trial work level, so the beneficiary is eligible for phase one milestone two. The same thing happens with the look back. If a beneficiary had earnings from, and I can't go backwards in my mind for 6 months, but the same situation, if you were to look at a look back tool, and you would see, you start with the first month that you see earnings posted, and you go for a six-month period, and you see that there are X's in 3 of those 6 months, then a phase one milestone two will be excluded. For phase one milestone three, it's 6 out of 12 months, a 12-month period, 6 months out of a 12-month period. If you see X's there for 6 months out of a 12-month, going back 12 months, then that phase one milestone three will be excluded. And that's the same basic rule that we use for making a payment. 3 out of 6 months for phase one milestone two, earnings 6 out of 12 months for phase one milestone three, and 9 out of 18 month period for phase one milestone four.
Okay. I was just trying to get a better handle on it because I want to make sure that I don't exclude certain months during a given period of time based on their income, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you have, if any of those periods, let's say I talked about the period between January and June, let's say it was June of 2015 was the 6 month, and January, we're talking about January 2016, and going back to June of 2015, that period. June of 2015, you may have had earnings at trial work level. You may not have had any earnings in May or April or March. But
yeah.
February and January, you had earnings at or above trial work level. Then a phase one milestone two would be excluded.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem.
And your next question comes from, caller, your name did not record, but you can go ahead with your question. Your line is open.
Oh, are you talking? Okay. This is Olivia Clausen. We tried to ask this question last time. Am I coming through?
Yes, you are, Olivia.
Okay. You know, and perhaps I'm one of the only EINs that's having this particular situation during the most current e-pay cycle, but we have gotten so very few process payments directly from the e-pay cycle this time, and it's been not following along with past ones, of course, and of course we've been in business doing this for several years now, and so have a fairly good handle on our budget and, you know, what's supposed to come through and what's not. So I'm just curious, I think the last call you all said there were 19,000 SSNs, and then this call it's to 14,000, and I'm wondering how that compares to prior e-pay cycles, number one, and number two, are all quarters reported from all field offices? Because we have tried to go and manually bill on individuals that we know have reported their earnings, but the earnings are still not showing up on the portal. So just concerned about how it compares to other cycles and why we are experiencing what we're experiencing this cycle.
Well, let me say this. First of all, we're not finished with this e-pay file, and there is an error in the presentation. It's not 14,000 SSNs. We had over 17,000 SSNs, and we are not finished yet. And as you said before, it might have been 19,000 or 21,000. And let me tell you how ePay works and probably why you got so many payments in the past. One good thing about ePay, or what happened in the past and why ePay is so great, there were times where you submitted outcome claims and they were denied over and over and over again because the beneficiary was not in a non-pay or suspense status due to work and earnings. They sat in the current pay for a long time, sometimes 2 or 3 years. Now, what happens with ePay, ePay looks at earnings all the way back if no payments were made. And so sometimes those earnings, the payment status changed. So we made a lot of retroactive payments on the ePay file. And, of course, with the first file, we made more payments than we would with the second file because we had so many retro payments, with the first file. So it's going to be less. It depends on how many changes Social Security has made to records retroactively to put them in suspense due to non-pay or work, and beneficiaries has earnings at SGA. So that's one reason why it could be less. But again, this file is a few hundred less, maybe not a few hundred, maybe a thousand or so less than the last file, and we're still processing claims. So you still may see some more payments before, you know, we complete our processing.
Okay. I was just wondering if all maybe, you know, of course you rack your brain, you're trying to figure out, you know, how it all works. And if you're not in the middle of it all, you only have your guesses. But if all the field offices are accounted for or not, because it's
let me just say this. For this ePay file, Social Security normally doesn't create a quarterly ePay file until they have the latest quarterly information updated. So if, you know, the quarterly information is 6 months behind or whatever, we wait till the next quarterly information is updated before Social Security runs a new file, because if there's no new quarterly information, it's probably going to be very, 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 very few payments that or SSNs on the particular file itself, because a lot of earnings do come from the quarterly file. But earnings also come from records are updated. When you talk about social field offices, whenever those earnings are verified in a field office, that information goes on a type of query. And I don't want to get into the details of it because I don't know all the details, but whenever earnings are verified, this process that Social Security goes through to create this ePay file looks at all sources of earnings. So it's looking at all earnings that have been submitted to the field office, verified by the field office. It looks at quarterly earnings. It looks at a number of places. So it's pulling earnings from everywhere possible.
Okay. Just, you know, when you're running a business, you're trying to figure out what do I need to do? How do I need to do this? Obviously, you know, I need to go back and look at how or what I require from my ticket holders, because I had at one point required them to give me pay information, and they would say, oh, well, I've got to give it to Social Security and I've got to give it to you. So then I had change and I said, no, give it to me. I'll do your reporting. But then that's kind of, there's lots of issues with doing that for people and not having them do it themselves. Yeah. So I went back to having people do the reporting for themselves. And right. Now I'm having to reconsider again, having them do both. So, you know, it's just kind of, I'm just watching the dust settle and see how our business practices need to change in order to make sure we get paid enough to get through, you know, and still be able to, of course we still do business whether we have the money or not, you know, every quarter, but still, but to make it a little bit easier on us that way, we may have to change something. So I appreciate you answering my question. Thank you so much.
This is Katie Chabinger from Social Security. I did want to chime in. You made a statement about trying to request payments in the portal and not seeing earnings there. The portal is real-time, the earnings that we have available, and it is the same earnings that the payment staff is looking at. So if you go to request a payment in the portal and there are not enough earnings available, then there is a very small chance that that payment is going to happen in the e-pay file.
And I currently show no further audio questions.
Thank you. Deborah, do we have any other questions presented in the chat room at this time?
No, we do not.
And there are no more audio questions at this time as well.
That is correct.
Okay. This will conclude our presentation presentation for today. As a reminder, the TPM provides an opportunity to all EMs to discuss payment-related topics on the last Tuesday of each month during the All EM Payments call. We are now moving to a quarterly schedule. The full transcript and audio for All EM Payments calls are available on the Ticket to Work website, and that's listed under the Events and Archives section. Our next All EM Payments call is scheduled for Tuesday, January 31st, 2017. Again, this will conclude our presentation for today. Thank you all for listening, your attention, and participation during the call. Please have a great evening and a great holiday. Thank you.
Thank you for your participation. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your line.